Jose Montoya is a multimedia artist, multidisciplinary educator, and queer fronterizo. He's been active with local grassroots organizing, worked with youth through higher education, and facilitates social justice workshops. Lately, he's been working on arts and activism talks on Instagram, so I thought, let's check in with Jose and talk about all of it. Today, my guest is Jose Montoya. Welcome to State of the Arts.
Thank you, Marina, for having me on State of the Arts. Happy to be here.
I'm glad you're here. You know, everything is so timely. We're pandemic, and then the nation's on fire. We're finally talking about race again. Hopefully it continues. And then we have people like you who have always been talking about race and always talking about the hard stuff and kind of always organizing. What made you get back to talking about arts and activism? I mean, I don't know if one came first or one came after, but I mean, you're definitely doing it and you're doing it pretty regularly.
Yeah, thank you. Well, I think I was basically trained to do this type of work in grad school, you know. So my trajectory of going back to doing stuff with social justice and working with youth goes back almost 20 years when I was working initially at New Mexico State University as a peer mentor. So I was peer mentoring students, you know, yeah. As I was a student, you know. And so, but then I moved to Denver, Colorado. And I've always been drawing and painting, mind you, this entire time, right? But never really focusing, thinking that art could be a career for me specifically, you know? So I was always going through like the normal channels of going to get your, go to school, leave the area, try to get a decent job, you know? So, and I started applying for a lot of nonprofit work when I moved to Denver, and I got a job at the Community Reentry Program, which was a jail to community program where we try to fight recidivism rates in Denver County, right? So because of the population that was being released from jail, which was, you know, statistically we know that people of color are the ones who
right.
I was working in a Black community, you know, and so I don't claim to be an expert by any means, but I learned a lot, you know, like working in the within that community and learning how to listen, you know, and learning.
That's just it, learning how to listen.
And also just kind of always thinking like, man, I feel like I should be doing this work back where I'm from, you know, so that's why I decided to move back. And it was interesting because I was also displaying artwork in galleries in Denver, you know. Believe it or not, it was easier to get into the art scene in Denver than here in El Paso.
Really? Why do you think that is?
I really don't know. You know, there was a gallery there, and it still exists, called CHOC, the Chicano Humanities and Art Council, and they had their own gallery. So it was kind of, they had an open door for artists who wanted to go in, you know, and so that's how I started. And so I came back. There was some stuff happening here, like, at the time when I came back, which I had a cousin from Juarez who was kidnapped by the cartels, and he came out all right. Like, he had a few bruises, but they didn't.
He's alive.
Yeah, he was alive, you know. So there was a lot of stuff that made me want to come back home. And so I got a job in higher ed for about 10 years working with migrant farm working students. So that was literally like a crash course in social justice, sort of going out into the fields, learning about the issues of the farm working community, you know, and all that. So, but in the back of it all, like, and going to grad school, doing research as a grad student, but still trying to work on art whenever I could, you know. And then I just really got kind of tired of being in higher ed, feeling that, in my opinion, like, sometimes those institutions are the same things that we're fighting.
You know, like, you're like, I'm in this system. And I know that sometimes it's like, okay, fight it within. But maybe somebody like you is like, okay, I know what this looks like. I'm going to fight from outside. Is that
right? Kind of what's happening? Yeah, absolutely. You know, and that, and I was dealing with some microaggressions in higher ed too. So I was just like, it's just the irony of it all, you know, like, yeah. Higher ed is an institution that's supposedly very progressive. It's actually very bureaucratic and very like, a huge hierarchy that, you know, boom, 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 these different levels. So I just took a risk and I jumped into the art scene, you know, and I kind of hit the ground running in a sense, you know what I mean? And so it's been about 2 years. And like you said, like, it takes, you know, we were talking a little bit earlier about the time it takes to add a presence of your work, you know, and yeah, so that's what I've been doing. So I just took all that stuff. You know, it's very interesting now to see like these scholars being quoted on Instagram, which is where the scholars that I was reading, you know, like 10 years ago when we were at school. So I'm like, wow, like bell hooks is now like a thing on Instagram. And then just the art, you know, when I left higher ed, I just focused on my art. Like I try to get better at my skills of being a painter, being a drawer, you know, and the different types of art I do, photography, and expanding on it, you know. And I ended up organizing with Paso del Sur for the Duranguito. And, you know, I am not in favor of the arena. And I have a whole bullet list of reasons why, you know, I understand the arguments for it. And I am pro economy in El Paso. I want people to have jobs, you know. I just don't think that the arena personally is like the answer to that, because I think it's actually indicative of a lot of stuff that's happening nationally, like how corporations continue to oppress people of color and marginalized people, you know, because the bulk of the folks that live in Duranguito are elderly, and they're, most of them are immigrants.
The folks that organize around Duranguito, it has a lot of art to it. It's definitely a good use of arts and activism, whether you agree or disagree. But if you look at it visually, I mean, I've seen people hang art along the fence, you know, and just kind of use it as an expression. I get what you're talking about. And again, you know, it's like, it's just having the conversation and listening, right? About anything.
Absolutely. You know, when I was in grad school, that's what I was trained, you know, So I'm not a trained artist by any means, right? I didn't go to art school or anything, you know? So, and the reason why I say is because any type of art you see that I'm doing, it's coming from like self-taught.
It's all you.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I don't even really know how to use a color wheel, to be honest, and I'm colorblind. So I'm always trying to figure out like colors and all that kind of stuff, right? In regards to like the work that's been done in Duranguito, because, you know, it, what you would call is like maybe art as resistance, right? Like we have painted on the sidewalks with students and with folks from the community, you know, some of the residents helped us paint on the sidewalks, the different indigenous symbols that we use are from the Apache, and also trying to put a little bit of historical context too, like so that whoever's walking by, you know, what be it tourists or anybody who's just in the area, you know, can learn a little bit about the history, and it comes at really no cost to anybody. It's just art that goes up, you know, so it's just like the folks who are protesting right now. I consider the art that's up there a protest. It's just a different type of protest, you know, so it may not be art that's been commissioned by anybody or there was a bureaucratic process to put the art up there, but it's there, and I think it sends a big message, I think, you know, and so that's how I see my art now, like in regards to activism and how I move forward, right? So
sure.
Yeah.
You've been hosting these talks with different artists, different kind of organizers and folks involved, talking about arts and activism. And are there any common threads or what are you finding the conversations? Where are you finding the conversations lead you?
Well, I think overall, you know, and these are the types of difficult conversations that need to be had, right?
You gotta have them.
That it's the art scene here in El Paso is a bit monopolized by a few artists, you know, and that the city will only work with a few artists who kind of maybe not question stuff the way, you know, other artists might, you know. And I thought I was the only person who felt that way. But then when I just kind of put that little bit of a little dusting of that information out, like I got a lot of feedback and a lot of people are like, yes, you know, we agree with you. I mean, they're all recorded, you know, all those conversations I left on my Instagram account, just people want to hear what other people are saying, you know. So,
and why do you think that is? Or have you all figured out a conclusion or?
Well, I mean, I think that like anything else, you know, this city, I don't think, is going to want to, you know, hire artists who are maybe critical of their policies. And also, you know, I also heard from some folks that the artists that get selected for different types of projects are usually, it all has to be included in tourism. Like there has to be some type of benefit to the tourism of El Paso to get like art grants, you know? So I don't know. It's a very kind of weird way to, you know, administer grants.
I do know that the arts programs are funded through the tourism hot tax. So there is definitely a tie. The more people that come here, the more money that there are in the grant funds. But I didn't realize the other layer that you're saying, that there has to be a tie to tourism necessarily through the arts. And I'm not familiar enough to know that, but I do know that that's the funding source.
Yeah, but that's how it was explained to me, right? Like, it was kind of like, hey, you can, but just, this is what you got to do. And I'm like, well, you know, well, here's the thing though. Like, you see, I was privileged to have that kind of training as a grad student, right? And I realized that not all artists are going to have that, you know? So I just come with a different skill set, right? Yeah. that I got in grad school, right? But if you think about how it reflects the current times, right, is how much money, you know, in the city budget goes to policing, right? Why isn't some of that money going to arts and cultural affairs, you know? So you can bring it back that way too, you know, why bring a tourist component to the arts? You know, it's kind of, in my opinion, it's a little bit of a distraction for artists who don't want to do that type of work.
So what do you do? Do you have a proposed solution, or like, how do you go about changing it?
Well, I think part of it is, as artists, we can do collective movements, right? And tell the city, this is what we're up to, you know, and do it openly, like not to be so, not everything has to be on the underground, right? But also, I think that it comes with our elected officials. I think it comes with exposing some of these truths that are now starting to be exposed, you know, on social media. Like, I've been seeing, there's like information overload on social media, and I think everybody would agree with that, right? But some of the stuff that we're finding is really like, wow, you know, like El Paso being one of the cities that is in top debt out of all Texas cities, you know. So, you know, those are just things that are coming up along the way, and I think it's important for people to know that, you know, and so that's how we begin the shift, right? So I think that art in general can help make the resistance to all of this beautiful. You know, I think art's a nice kind of touch to it all. So
that's the best way to end. You know, the resistance is beautiful, and you can do it with art, and you're one of the people doing it here. And like kind of what we were talking about, agree or disagree, have the conversation and listen to each other, because somewhere in there, there's a common ground. And it requires a little bit of give from both sides, because no one's going to have it their way.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I would love for, you know, in my opinion, like an alternative to the arena would be an amazing art space there in Duranguito. You know what I mean? But that's my opinion. You know, and there are going to be other folks who don't agree with that, because at the end of the day, like the word for there is gentrification and how that looks, right? So, but I would love to see art in Duranguito replacing the arena. I think that would bring in tourists to look at art, you know, so let's make that a happening scene, you know, so, but the resistance needs to be beautiful. And I think art will do that.
That's a perfect way to seal this thing. Today, my guest has been Jose Montoya, art activist, multimedia artist, multidisciplinary educator, and organizer of social justice movements, we should say. Thank you for coming to State of the Arts.
Thank you, Marina. I appreciate it.